Well, God bless each and every one of you tonight. All right. Blessings to each and every one of you. This is a live blog talk radio cast tonight. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And I just want to minister to you tonight. There are many of you, the Spirit of the Lord actually just began to move upon my heart. Many of you are perplexed and in a valley of indecision. Some of you just not sure which way to go. Some of you don't know if you need to start something, cancel something, stop something, proceed forward, go backwards, stay still. I'm just not sure and just perplexed. But I'm here to let you know that God has a priceless solution and a priceless answer to all of your questions. And God is faithful, and he will deliver. You know, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So our relationship with the Lord is really dependent on this thing called faith. I call faith the divine energy of God. Faith is what brings the things that God has provided for us from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. I want to say that again. Faith is the divine energy of God that brings the things of God from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Did you get that? I'm going to say it again. Faith is what brings, well, first of all, it's the divine energy of God that brings the things that God has provided for us from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. You know, our faith is the victory that enables us to overcome the world. So you have three enemies. One is the world. The second is the flesh. And the other is the devil. But God has given you something so that you can overcome the flesh, the world, and your own devil. And that's faith. Everything the Lord does, everything that he does for us is actually accessed through faith. Now, even though that is definitely the absolute truth, yet there's much confusion about this word faith. Faith today, just as there's always been, and it always has been faith, because faith is actually, the Bible lets us know that the worlds were created and they're hanging, and the planet is moving on its axis because God spoke some words and the world came into existence, all based on the word of his power, and he spoke faith-filled words. But yet today, we're still confused about that subject of faith. It's like having a computer and knowing its potential, but not having a clue of how to use it. And many of us know how frustrating that is. Some of you that are listening to me right now, you have a computer and you're frustrated because you don't know all of the components. So you just basically get, I put it this way, you get stuck. You don't use everything that your computer actually offers. I heard someone said, you know what, I just use email. Somebody else just told me, I just stay on Facebook. But you're not tapping into all the potential that your computer actually has to offer. And the same thing is with life itself. We're not tapping into all that God has placed on the inside of us, such as a very important question, purpose. What is your purpose? You'll find when you're not really tapping into your purpose that you begin to actually get aggravated or begin to be unsettled or begin to even find yourself in a confused state because you end up doing something or working on a job that you hate. Sometimes people settle because especially females get in a certain age and figure my biological clock is ticking. So you just pick up anybody along the way and you marry them. Meanwhile, you're miserable in that marriage. Men take on any job because of responsibilities. Now they have a son or daughter that they feel that they have to they really supposed to support, but they feel pressured. So they take any job, not a job that's based on their purpose, not a job based on their divine calling, not a job that is actually their divine assignment, but feeling pressured. And what happens? We end up getting involved in things that blind us from our true potential, keep us from embracing our purpose, and therefore missing embracing and kissing destiny. Now, it's sad to have something and not use the full potential of it. It's sad to have a life and to just exist and not tap into the full potential of what life is all about. And it's the same thing with faith. The Bible is our manual with detailed instructions. But just like the in the natural, few people actually take the time to really study it. For the last few days, I've been keeping my computer on. Don't usually do that, but I've been in consecration and fasting and in my office, even though I'm in my office right now. And I've been keeping my computer on, and I keep certain pages on social networking, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, just to name a few, LinkedIn. And I've been noticing how some people for hours and hours, they're like just posting and posting and posting. I mean, almost every half hour. And I'm talking about for hours. And I'm wondering, do they have a job? Do they have a life? What are they doing with themselves? I've never actually been on social media so much than these last 2 weeks of fasting and praying, because I'm actually sending messages, and I've actually even doing my fast and consecration, been helping people out. And even some of you know, I even do chef services. I've been even preparing food even while I'm fasting and praying. People might say, well, how do you do that? Well, it doesn't bother me at all, but that's not my point. My point is this, that you are in a dilemma concerning faith when you haven't went to the manual that instructs you how to tap into the full potential of faith. And that Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is the manual with detailed instructions how to walk by faith, how to live by faith. But just like in the natural, people take time to pour themselves into other things to hope to get a benefit, but we don't pour ourselves into understanding the mechanisms and the development of faith, because many times we're impatient and we want to do it on our own. I call it the Frank Sinatra song, doing it my way. So they may reach some level of success, but to really be proficient, you'll find that you have to actually dedicate yourself to faith. And that's in anything. I went to school for naturopathic science, radiology, education in the health field. And I had to dedicate hours and hours and years to get a degree, to be proficient in it, and had to see so many clients even before I got the degree, which was a work study. Had to get clients into the clinic from chronic ailments to you name it. And I had to dedicate time. There were times, oh my God, I remember I would be sleepy and so tired, and I had to work in the emergency room, I had to work in the OR, in the operating room. And then later on, I got involved in mortuary science, a whole nother thing dealing with autopsies, pathology. And I had to dedicate hours and hours and years of that as well to begin to be proficient in it. Now, one of the areas about faith that gives people the most trouble is that we don't dedicate time to really maneuver, study, to understand the strategy and the concepts of faith. So we're not proficient in it, and we get weak, and then doubt and unbelief and fear takes over. But to understand this element, this divine energy that God has given every and dealt unto every man the measure of faith, to understand this concept, you know, I want you to really hear me. Again, I'm talking about one of the areas about faith that gives people the most challenges or trouble is the concept that we have to acquire more faith and that some people have much faith while others have virtually none. And that's not true at all. We spend a lot of effort like a dog chasing its tail, attempting to get something we already have. Listen to me, beloved. I'm not talking about you have to fast to get faith. You already have it. I'm not talking about praying to get faith. You already have it. I'm not talking about going to seminary to get faith. You already have it. I'm not talking about singing in the choir. You already have it. We spend a lot of time not realizing what we already have. Every born-again Christian already has the same quality and the quantity of faith. Listen to me. That Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, that Jesus actually has. That's awesome. Did you hear what I said? Every born-again Christian already has the same quality and quantity of faith that Jesus has. That's powerful. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's God's grace that saves us. But not his grace alone. If we was if you believe the scripture, I'm going to read that again. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. The apostle Paul actually wrote this and said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift." Now, do you believe that? If you believe that, if that is true, then everyone would be saved because God's grace has to come to all men. Isn't that right? So we have to put faith in God's grace, but the faith that we use isn't our own human faith. This verse says that faith is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It's God's faith that, oh my God, the same faith that God had when he knew, when he said, "Let there be," and he just knew it was going to happen, he gave that to us. Oh, that is powerful. Do you see how we get fooled and deceived not to realize that God has already given us a gift? But we think, if I just study more, if I just pray more, and all this is helpful in bringing an awareness, but you already got it. God gave you the same faith that he had and that he has when he said, "Let there be." Oh my God, this is powerful. So we have to put faith in God's grace, understanding that the faith we use is not our own faith. Now, there is a human faith that's inherent in every human being. I'm not talking about that faith. Every human has faith. It's inherited in every human being. But there's a supernatural faith of God that only comes to those who receive the good news. Are you receiving good news right now? Did you receive the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord? Did you receive the good news, amen, that he died for your sins and he resurrected again? Do you believe that? Oh my God. Now, if you receive the good news and you received it, meaning you became born again, automatically now he gives you his faith, the gift of God. Now understand what I'm saying. Human faith can only believe what it can see. Human faith can only believe what it can hear. Human faith can only believe what it can smell. Human faith can only believe what it can feel. In other words, human faith depends on the senses. It's limited to the five senses. using natural human faith, we could sit in a chair. Think about it. Some of you might be sitting right now. You sit in a chair that you didn't even think about it. We can sit in a chair that we've never sat in and believe that it's going to hold up 200 pounds. For some of you, it's more. You don't even think twice. Some of you might be laying in a bed right now. You weigh more money than, not more money. I've already get to money in the moment because I want to show you how to use faith for money. But you could lay in the bed and you weigh more than that mattress. But you believe that mattress is going to take you through the night of 6, 7, 8 hours. Isn't that something? You could go up some stairs believing it's going to hold you up. You can get on a plane and you just believe. Actually, you don't even practice believing. You just get on a plane. Believe is just know it's going to take you from point A to point B. With all that luggage that you don't see under the bottom of the plane and all those people weighing over 100 pounds that's on that plane. Human faith. Think about that. Human faith. It believes, and it can only believe because it's limited to the five senses, what it can see, what it can taste, what it can hear, what it can smell, what it can feel. It's limited to the five senses. Using natural human faith, we accept that. We don't even think about flying in the airplane when we don't fully understand even how it works. And that's something. We fly in airplanes, people. We don't even fully understand how it works, but we question the potential and the gift that God has given us. God tells you to start a business, you question it. God tells you to write a book, you question it. God tells you to do this, you question it. God even has a prophet to tell you you should be making $10 million this year, and you question it. But you'll get an airplane that you don't understand and go to sleep until you get to your destination, or work in the airplane. Get your computer out, do some work, text, and don't question anything concerning that. You didn't question, say the airplane pilot, did he sleep 12 hours last night? Is he sober? Where did he get his training from? You don't question that. See that? You see human faith? God gave you something better than that, the gift of God, faith. See, I want you to think about this. We don't doubt the conductor of a train. We trust that everything's going to be okay in the plane. Everything's going to be okay in the train. That takes human faith, which God gave to every man. It's inherent in every man. Now, what if I ask you to sit in a chair you couldn't see? Or what if the chair was missing one of his legs and falling over? You wouldn't sit in a chair like that with human faith. Would you fly in a plane if you could see that the engine was falling off? Would you fly in a plane if you saw that the tires were flat? Your senses would actually reject it. Your senses would forbid it. Yet when it comes to God, hear me, when it comes to God, we have to believe things that we cannot see. You haven't seen God. You haven't even seen the devil. You haven't seen heaven. You haven't seen hell. You haven't seen sin. Therefore, you wouldn't know what you would even be looking for anyway. You understand what I'm saying? You wouldn't even know what you're looking for, but you believe all these things that you're born again. You believe that you are born again, but yet you haven't seen it. You see the difference in human faith versus the gift of God. God gave His faith, the same exact faith when he said, let there be light. And there was. Oh, this is powerful. He gave us the same when we accepted the good news of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we received him as Savior. So let me see. I want to minister to those that need ministry. I haven't done the answer question thing in a while on the blog talk. I got to see if I can work my way through. But something comes to me that my dad actually said some time ago. And he used to take his arm in his hand. And maybe he just used your imagination. He would say, faith is the hand that reaches out to nothing, grabs a hold of nothing. And then he'd bring his arm and hand to him until nothing becomes something. Faith is the hand that reaches out to nothing, grabs a hold of nothing until nothing becomes something. I'm here to let you know. There's a few of you I'm sensing in the spirit. You're in a rut. You're in a rut. It's work, church, home. Work, church, home. Some of you is work, home, work and home. Some of you just in a cycle and a rut. And you're questioning yourself and you're questioning God and you're questioning what it is that you should do or should you do it? Should you stop doing it? You're in a valley of indecision. Your faith has been shattered. Your faith has been weakened. I'm here to let you know that God is stronger than any opposition and things that you've been dealing with. And when you understand this thing about faith, how faith actually works with prayer, and true prayer is seeing God and not seeing your circumstance. True faith is seeing God, having your eyes fastened on God and not having your mind fastened on your opposition and your adversity and your situation. Oh my God, did you hear what I said? Then faith begins to surface from your recreated spirit. And then you begin to move and do great exploits for God. I want you to know, you're not up at this time of night just because. God had you on this particular call, this podcast, so that you could hear this word and begin to activate, reactivate your faith and reactivate your life. Because it ain't over. The best is yet to come. You've just been in a dilemma of undecided expectations. See, faith needs a target. Faith needs an object to go towards. Now, I want you to hear, I'm speaking to a few of you right now. When it comes to God, we have to believe things that we cannot see. I told you, you haven't seen God. You haven't seen the devil. You haven't seen heaven. You haven't seen hell. You haven't seen sin. Therefore, you wouldn't know what you would look like if your sins were taken away. Isn't that something? You don't know how you would look if your sins were taken away. But you have to believe in all these things to be born again. How can you believe in things you can't see? And the answer is that you can't believe in invisible things with human faith. You need God's supernatural faith, and you already got it. You need to accept it. Accept it at face value. You know, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, God calleth those things which be not as though they were. God's faith goes beyond sight, people. This is one of the things I appreciate about my dad. He taught me faith. This is a man that would buy buildings, not have a dime in his pocket. This is a man who the church that I pastor right now, that I'm the bishop and prelate of, a building, he didn't have a dime, people. This, and I mean, I've seen this over and over, even the other church that he had, even when he left a particular denomination and the Lord called him to go forth and start a ministry. A man that went to the bank and said, that's my church. It didn't even look like a church. Actually, the building wasn't even a church. It was an eyeglass factory, so to speak. Doctor's office. Eye doctor's office were made eyeglasses. I want you to hear me. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God calleth those things which be not. You know what we're usually doing? We usually are calling a thing that we don't want. And this, I know it ain't proper English, but it be is. It continue to be the is in our life because we're calling it to stay as it is when God doesn't function like that. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. I'm really getting excited here. I'm doing my best not to talk too loud. My family is asleep. Children asleep. My wife is right here. She's asleep as well. I'm doing my best, but I feel a hallelujah right now. Because somebody candle just got lit. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. God's faith goes beyond sight. God's faith operates supernaturally beyond the limitations of our natural faith. I want you to let that massage your consciousness for a moment. So the context of the verse from Romans speaks about how God supernaturally blessed Abram and Sarah with a child in their old age. Abram was 100, Sarah was 91 when Isaac was born. I mean, first of all, who even thinking about having a baby? I mean, it took faith. I know a lot of y'all think, man, it took a lot of faith for Sarah to have a baby at 91 and Abraham at 100. No. Mm-mm. Didn't take a lot of faith. It took faith to be at 191 to have a child, to raise the child. Having the baby was the easy part. You're going to, at 100, and 91, you're going to raise a child? Now, I'm 57, and I got 3 children. I started out late. It ain't no joke at 57. So the faith to me is not, you know, you giving the birth to the baby. It's raising up Isaac after he's born. Something that it had to take faith because he couldn't look at his old body. He couldn't look at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had to look beyond, and you cannot look beyond with human faith. Please hear me. The year before Isaac's birth, when Abram still did not have a child by his wife, God told him that the child was coming. He changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. Abram meant high father, H-I-G-H. That's what Abram meant, high father. But Abraham means to be populous, father of a great multitude. So God changed Abram's name and called him the father of a multitude before it even came to pass. See, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 explains this. It explains this action by saying that God calleth those things which be not as though they were. So you don't have to keep talking about your problem. Start talking like God talks and go way beyond your current situation. Go way beyond where you are right now, calling the thing that you want versus calling and addressing and keeping the thing that is. You getting this? When the Lord created the universe, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that he created light on the first day, but didn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day of creation. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, I think through 19. The Lord called light into being first, and then 4 days later created a source for the light to actually come from. That's not the way natural man does things. We're limited, but God calls things that are not as though they were. That's supernatural. That's the kind of faith. See, a lot of people want a word from the Lord. Let me give you a word right now. This is the word you need. Be the prophecy right now that you want and that you're looking for by calling it on the scene right here and right now. Instead of saying, I can't afford, say, I am more than enough. My cup runneth over. Instead of talking about your pain and your sickness, harabushata, and talking about your disease, say, I walk in divine health. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. Instead of saying I can't find a job, say I'm the head and not the tail. Actually, I create jobs. See yourself not as you are. See yourself the way you want to see yourself and start saying it. This is the faith of God. This is the gift of God that God gave us. Are y'all getting this? It takes, I'm telling you, doing my best to not be too loud, but this is exciting. It takes God's supernatural faith to receive salvation. Where do you get it from? We get it from God's word. See, that's the kind of faith we have to use to receive salvation. We have to believe in God, whom we have not seen, believe that our sins are forgiven, which we cannot prove by natural means. It takes God's supernatural faith to receive salvation. Where do we get that from? We get it from God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We access God's faith through his word. When we hear God's word, the Holy Spirit empowers it. When we hear God's word, the Holy Spirit empowers it. And if we receive the truth, God's supernatural faith enters us. We were so destitute that we couldn't even believe the good news on our own. God had to make his kind of faith available. God made his kind of faith, the God kind of faith, available to us so that we could believe in him and receive his salvation. We were saved by using God's supernatural faith to receive his grace, because human faith said, I gotta see something. Human faith said, I gotta feel something. Human faith says, I gotta hear something. No. God gave us his faith to receive his grace. And once we receive God's supernatural faith of salvation, it doesn't leave us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So faith becomes a permanent part of our born-again spirits. We sometimes use the God kind of faith that's present in our spirits, and other times we don't. And the truth is, it's always present, whether you use it or not. There's no lack of faith within any true Christian. There's just a lack of knowing and using what God has already given us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God didn't give us different measures of faith. We all received the measure of faith. And if I was serving soup to a lot of people, and if I used the same spoon to dish it out, then that spoon would be the measure. Everyone would get the same amount of soup because I would use the same measure. That's the way it is with God's faith. He only used one measure. All born-again Christians receive the same measure or amount of faith. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Second Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That Greek word that was translated like precious in this verse is isotomos, which means the equal value of honor. So we have the same faith that Peter used when he raised Dorcas from the dead, folks, and when he made people whole by touching them with his shadow. We have the same faith. We also have the same faith that Paul had. Paul said in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Notice, whose faith is it? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Paul did not say that I live by faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God. The measure of faith that Paul had was the same measure that Jesus had. It was Jesus' faith. And if there's only one measure of faith, then we also have the faith of Jesus. Are you getting this, people? I hope you are. I like there was a evangelist some time ago, preacher, some of you might have heard of him, powerful man of God, R.W. Shambach. Used to come on the radio a lot, and R.W. Shambach used to say at the beginning of his broadcast, you don't have any trouble. And I used to like, what is he talking about? I know I got some trouble. I got plenty of trouble, especially back then. I had a whole lot of trouble. I had a whole bunch of girl trouble. He said, I had trouble. He said, no, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Like, whoa, took me a while to really get that. And I knew it was true, but didn't really understand it till much later. In other words, because when you look at that, faith in God, Jesus said that on one occasion, have faith in God. When you really look that up in the original translation, it says, have the God kind of faith. In other words, R.W. Shambach was saying, you don't have any trouble. All you need to do is awaken to God's gift or the God kind of faith that's already in you. Woo! All you need to do is realize what is already in you. Some of you think you got opposition. Not really. It's just that has you clouded. That has you. That's dictating to you right now because you don't know what's already in you. And we have things that dictate to us because we don't realize what lies already on the inside of us. God has already given us his faith, the God kind of faith, his measure. But we allow something to take our concentration and take our focus, to take our attention, and therefore it begins to dictate to us and make commands of us. When the truth be told, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Amen. Amen. I want to see if anybody wants prayer or you want a prophetic word. I got to see. I haven't done this in so long. I guess there might be a way on your end to actually signal to me somehow. Again, forgive me, but I don't know if you can hit something. But if so, if you want prayer tonight or a word, or you can't figure it out and I can't figure it out right now, it's okay. You can email me tonight And you can put your telephone number in if you don't mind me calling you tonight. I'm up for a while. Like I said, I'm still on consecration and fasting, praying, and I really could get carried away tonight, doing my best not to get loud. Like I said, my family is actually asleep. But I'm excited. I'm excited that God is about to propel you to go to another dimension in life. And I hear the Lord saying to all of you that are on here that this is the time and the season to make your mark. This is the year to actually go forward and to make your mark. But this is a time to reconnect with spirit, say the Lord. And this is time to begin to receive of the spirit, say the spirit of the Most High God. And this is time to recharge even yourself and recharge your mind and recharge your spirit. And this is time to go back to your first love, say the Spirit of God. Or this is time to renew your relationship with me so new relationships can come and be attached to you. To decipher what is the best thing for you to do and to make that move. And to go forth in courage and a spirit of daringness. For the Lord would say, I've already made the way plain. I've already moved goes out of thy path. But it's for you to begin to be aware of the gift that I've placed on the inside of you. For if you thought the gift was repentance, but it is not. For I've given you the gift of my spirit. My Holy Spirit, who automatically comes with my faith. For you cannot even get born again if it was not for the Spirit. For the Spirit continues to dwell with you and in you to develop you. For I've already put on the inside of you, in your inward parts, that which is me. And it is up to you to develop and to walk by faith and not by sight. For I'm moving you from glory to glory. For I'm moving you from faith to faith. For as you reconnect and you will recharge, and as you receive, you will be renewed. Then you can go forth and decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. For I watch over my word, saith the Lord. And as I watch over my word, it will never be empty. It will never be void. But it will accomplish that which I please and where I send it to. And you shall prosper, prosper, prosper as you go forth in the application of what I've already sanctioned from the beginning. For I've called you by your name, you are mine. And therefore, you will go forth with a new drive and get out of that mentality of being stuck. I will lead and I will guide. And most of all, I will provide. I will provide for you a way for you to make your mark this year, said the Spirit of the Most High God. Walk by faith and not by sight, and you shall see the glory of the Lord and give praises unto me. For this is your season and this is your time to be what I've called you to be, save your divine Father. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I hope you got something out of this. Feel free if you tonight, I'll probably be maybe another 2 hours. If you want to email me, my email is bishop@bishopwomack.com. That's B-I-S-H-O-P at B-I-S-H-O-P-W-O-M-A-C-K.com. Again, that's bishop@bishopwomack.com. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I know that this is an extraordinary year, and I know some of you can tell and you feel it, and We're in the second quarter right now. Some of you didn't do what you know you should have did in the first quarter. I believe that this message tonight is reactivating some things so that you could start afresh and start anew and just go forth in what God has called you to. Sometimes aggravation sets in because you're at a place that you have no business stopping at. Sometimes you'll find that you can only become a winner when you realize what a winner truly is. And a winner is nothing but an ex-loser that got mad. I'm going to say that again. A winner is nothing more than an ex-loser that got mad. You got to get mad at your current circumstances. You got to get mad at what you've been doing and where you've been in order to move forward to be what God called you to be. So understand this. We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. Your God is bigger than the giant that you face. Amen, amen, amen. I said, your God is bigger than the giants that you face. If David would have been looking at the giant and kept his eyes fastened on the giant, he would have ran in terror. But he wasn't looking at the giant. He was looking at the reward. He had heard that there was a prize for the person who could take this giant. His family would not have to pay taxes. The person who would defeat this giant would be rich forever. And then they would also have the opportunity to marry the king's daughter. David wasn't paying that giant no mind. David had his mind on the reward. And if you could start putting your mind on the reward and stop saying what you don't want, but start saying what you want and that you are walking in it by faith, you'll see that the opposition of the giant is standing in the way that you're not even paying no attention except to knock it down. It's the only thing that basically is hiding your blessing. The only thing that was standing between the king's daughter for David to marry, wealth and riches for David and his family never to have to pay taxes, is a lion vanity, a giant. That's what a giant is. Some of you had giants in your life. It's just a lion vanity. If it is, I'm going to help you understand what a giant is. I got a few more minutes and then we're closing. Let me help you to understand what a giant is. If it's anything other than the word of God, it's a giant, a lion vanity. Whoo, Jesus. If it's anything other than what God says about you, oh, I feel my help. It's a lion vanity. Stop entertaining ungodly beliefs about yourself. Because all you do, every time you thinking about something about yourself or what you don't like and something that you're not satisfied about, you're not aware of the faith that God has already given you. You're not aware of the gift that he's already given you. I'm not talking about human faith. I'm talking about the God kind of faith. And every time you are entertaining something other than the word of God, you're entertaining and you're making it bigger, a giant, a lying vanity. It's lying to you to rob your destiny. It's lying to you to take out your passion. It's lying to you to blind you from purpose, a giant. That's what was standing in David's way of being rich. That's what was standing in David's way, where even family, they didn't have to pay any taxes if he defeats this giant. That's what kept David from the king's daughter. It was just the giant. He was told, you could marry the king's daughter, meaning now you're related to the king. What keeps you from being related to the king. A lying vanity. He's the King of Kings, but you don't even realize, your elder brother is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. You don't even realize every time you walk outside in the street, go up on the highway or in a plane, that the world you're experiencing, that the earth that you walk about, drive on, etc., you don't realize that your father built it, that your father, no, he didn't build it, I'm sorry, your father created it with words. He created with faith-filled words. What's keeping you from understanding your kinship to the King of Kings? It's a giant, a lying vanity. Are y'all getting this? And it is time now for you to understand. God ain't just God. He's your divine father. And if you know that, why don't you call home sometime? Stop using God to be a bellhop. Stop using God as only when you're in trouble. No, he's your divine father. I called my mom today. My father, he made his transition some years ago. But I called my mom today, didn't speak to her. Because she, my mother's always on the go and always running. Oh my God, all the time. But I call her because I love her out of respect. I often call my mom and speak to her. You know, if my father was alive, I would call him because I used to call my father all the time. See, if God is your parent, if he's your father, and Jesus said when you pray, say our Father, so he is your father. But I don't think you realize it. When's the last time you called home? Not when you're in trouble. When's the last time you just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you. I might not even be where I want to be, but I sure ain't where I used to be. Thank you. I might not even live where I want to live right now, but I thank you. I have a roof over my head. Thank you. I might not even have all the food that I want right now, but I ain't starving. I can look in the mirror and see that. Thank you. If God is your father, call home. Activate your faith in prayer. Prayer helps you to keep seeing God. Oh, my God. You getting this, folks? I believe in prayer. It's the best way to draw strength from heaven. Amen. I got to say this again, what my dad said. Faith is the hand that reaches out to nothing, grabs a hold of nothing until nothing becomes something. Faith is a fact, but faith is an act. And prayer is acting on your faith, the divine energy of God. Wow. Oh, boy, this is powerful. This is powerful, powerful, powerful. Looks like somebody has a question here. I want to see if I can. Let me see. I'm going to see what I could do here. Again, you got to forgive me. I got to study this thing. Hold on for a moment. Okay. I think I got area code 252. Who's ever calling from there? Go ahead. If you have a question, go right ahead.
I was just wondering, could I have a personal prophecy from God?
Sure. I just heard the Lord said education is not over for you, and you need to begin to actually investigate and make up in your mind what you want to do. And to go forth and pursue. God says, don't let the dream die. This is time to make the dream a reality and to go forth and pursue your heart's desire so that you don't find yourself in a place of boredom. You need to actually focus on the word function and see the word that you can't even spell function without fun. God says, when you begin to go back into the thing that you truly desire, and don't make any excuses and just trust the process. You'll begin to have fun in your function. That's the word of the Lord to you. Let me ask you something. Have you thought about going back to school or doing anything besides what you're currently doing?
Well, I actually dropped out of school, and I just was like, forget it. I want to go back because it just seemed like I had so much coming against me every time I go back to school. So I'm like, oh, forget it. But for the past couple of weeks,
And no, I felt that in my spirit. That's why I asked you that.
Yeah, but for the past couple of weeks, I've been getting these dreams to go back to school. And last night I had a dream, and it was a bunch of teachers, and she was like, "Y'all come on, y'all got y'all degrees. Come on, we gonna go teach over here." All these ladies was around me, and we went to follow her. But I was like, "But I don't have a degree. I can't be around you." But she said nothing, and I like kind of, you know, hung out. But I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be there because I knew I didn't have a degree. But she said nothing until today. I started. They got these free courses, and so I'm looking at these free courses and thinking I can kind of get a degree free from one of these Ivy League schools.
God is giving you, you got the word of the Lord, so, you know, you just got to go forth and do your part, and if you seek, you shall find. You'll have peace to know exactly what is the right place for you to actually start studying. So don't sleep on that. Don't sleep on that, because you will avoid a lot of boredom in years to come when you actually begin to pick out the niche that you want to actually begin to be educated in. And don't give up, because you'll find that when you just dedicate yourself to what it is that the Lord's going to show you to do, it's going to be great reward and prosperity and financial independence. So don't sleep on that. Thank you so much for being a part of our blog talk today.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. So, folks, I kind of figured out how to – I did get somebody on here. So let's see. Area code 701. Go right ahead. This is Bishop Womack.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
This is Daniel.
Bless you. Bless you. How could I minister to you tonight or this morning?
For the longest time, and I mean years before this night happened, that I had the opportunity to trucking school. And I did for about maybe a month and a half.
Say that again. I missed that part. Say that again. You had a chance for what now?
To go to truck school.
Okay, go ahead.
And I did go, but I quit because the teachers were not teaching properly, and the school was a failure. Fast time, the opportunity to go again this month.
Well, let me give you a word, because I got a couple of seconds that it's going to cut off. What you need to do is get yourself a journal over the next 3 days. God told me to tell you to write division, write everything that you're seeing of desires, everything that you desire to do, and then narrow it down to three things. Okay, and then when you narrow it down to three things, God's going to speak to you exactly what you need to pursue. But you need to do this over a 3-day period. You need to write down everything you desire and then pick out three, and the Lord will speak to you what it is that you need to do. All right. Sorry to close out on you like this, but I just have 30 seconds left. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. This is Bishop Shamar Womack. Feel free to email me, folks, bishop@bishopwomack.com, bishop@bishopwomack.com. I want y'all to follow me on Periscope. Go to Twitter. Follow me on Twitter and follow me on Periscope. I want to be doing some broadcasting this week and be a blessing to you. Feel free to give us a call, too. 973-748-0090. God bless you. Peace.